This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
There's other important issues that we have to deal with. And, so I don't know that it is a top priority, but there's certainly folks who have an appetite for it. And whether it gets there or not, I don't know.
Says he's doubtful, actually. That's State Rep Houston Gaines, Athens Republican Houston Gaines, with whom we spoke on Tuesday, talking there about a proposed constitutional amendment. Here we go again, with a proposal for online sports gambling in Georgia. 36, 37, 38 other states have it. Georgia could, if it could get in front of the voters in the form of a constitutional amendment, requires two-thirds majorities in both the House and Senate. Houston Gaines, you're hearing there, saying, yeah, we got more important stuff to do. Let's get the Senate perspective on that and other issues from Madison County State Senator Frank Ginn, Republican, represents about half of Athens in the Georgia Senate. Senator Ginn, thanks for your time this morning.
Hey, good morning, Tim. Great to be with you.
Let me jump in here on the gambling thing. It was Senator Bill Kousert, your Athens Senate colleague, who tweaked the legislation. Could have been an up or down vote on legislation that would have simply allowed the online sports gambling to help fund the Lottery Corporation, which pays for the Hope Scholarships and the pre-K. But no, he said, let's put this in front of the voters of Georgia in the form of a constitutional amendment, thus raising the bar, two-thirds majorities in both the House and Senate. Where is this and where are you?
Well, Tim, the bill went to the floor without a constitutional amendment. I said no. I absolutely voted against it. I voted against all the amendments that were with it because it wasn't very well thought out. To me, the when you do something like that, you try to pass something that is going to get tied up in court. It's going to be a fight with their lawyers, and it's not going to work, said the, because, we didn't have, nobody knew what sports betting or mobile app betting was. When the Hope Scholarship was passed back in the early 90s. And for me, I'm like, why go down that path? And so I commend Senator Kousert. He followed up after that floor vote, which did pass, but it didn't pass with any help from me. I voted against it. And he came to committee with a well thought out, well scripted constitutional amendment question, and I voted for it in committee. So that constitutional amendment question will go to the floor at some point. And it's where for me the people need to decide. Like, back 30 years ago over 30 years ago when we had the Hope Scholarship question come up for the lottery in Georgia, it was well thought out and put it before the people, and the people decided to do it. And, it's been a great success for everything from kindergarten or pre-K all the way through higher ed. And that's one of the things that, to me, I don't like going off half-cocked, and I was glad to see that my wingman, Senator Kousert, moved the bill forward in a thoughtful manner that we can work together on and let the people in Georgia decide whether they want to do this or not.
Senator Frank Ginn with us. Talk about a couple of things that you're working on, you specifically in the Senate. I'm now a week and a day away from legislative crossover day. Senate Bill 499 enhances the planning and delivery of services by counties and cities. I read this and I think of not Senator Frank Ginn, but Frank Ginn, the county manager from back in the day. You have a front row seat for the way the state and local governments interact over the years.
Yes, sir. Said the as you know, this year I'm chairing the State and Local Government Operations Committee, and I've got about 20 years in as a city and county manager. And for me, that this off season that we had in between last year and this year, there was a study committee that we worked on for service delivery. And I'll give you a perfect example right next door to you in Bexar County. There's been a long-standing feud between the city and the county, the city of Winder and Bexar County, on service delivery, and that's who's going to serve what for water and sewer. I'll tell you a quick story. The had former Attorney General Sam Olens call me and said, "Hey, Frank, we've got a client that is trying to build a medical office facility." It was just outside the city of Winder. The situation was that Winder has a rule that they wouldn't serve it unless they annexed into the city. The county had an agreement to they couldn't serve sewer to it because they had an agreement with DOT if they couldn't serve it with water. And, you know, it was a total meltdown. They couldn't get the medical office facility built because they couldn't get a service agreement worked out. And they called me and asked me to help get into it. And so, long story short, the great thing is that I was able to work with the city and the county, and I'm proud of the leaders that were there in both governments. And they made an exception to their rule, and we got service to it, and there's a new medical office facility being built there. Long story short, that pointed to me that we needed to do something on it. And during the off season, me and Chairman John LaHood from down in Valdosta worked together with our committees and came up with recommendations on how do we keep this from happening. It happens most of the time. It works pretty well, but probably 10 or 15% of the time and with cities and counties, there's a feud, and that's not good for the taxpayer, because when they get into it, this case actually went through the Supreme Court, and you know that's expensive. It's not good for the citizens, and not good to get service deliveries put out.
Yeah, it's bad on a lot of different levels. I'm just sitting here in amazement. I'd never heard this story, but to build an office park, in this case a medical complex, to get that done required I suppose somebody speaking on behalf of the builder there, Sam Olens, who had been in the legislature, had been the attorney general, knew to pick up the phone and knew which state senator to call. Absent that, it might not have been done at all. And I think most folks in business anyway, would think we ought not need to get folks like you and him involved in something like this. It ought to be a lot simpler, and I suppose that's the point of the legislation.
Yes, sir. And that's where, for me, I was proud of the work the committee did. That bill follows the recommendations of what our committee met on. And we met several times over different parts of the state, talked to different local governments, had a lot of input from interested parties, and it's a work product of that study committee. And, you know, hopefully tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock, I have a meeting to get that bill through committee and on to the floor. This is the week that pretty much everything has to be done in the Senate. Our rules require us to have all of those reported back before Monday. We go into session Monday morning at 10 o'clock. So whatever's going on in the Senate, if it's not reported out before Monday at 10 o'clock, then it's not going anywhere, and it'll be dead for the session.
Yeah, legislative crossover day a week from tomorrow, State Senator Frank Gehry. Senate Bill 402, likewise, you're working on here. Legislation in this one in the Senate Committee on Public Safety, I guess now out of that committee. Restrictions on Class D license holders operating Class C motor vehicles in Georgia with certain passengers. Unpack that one for us.
Well, you know, it's kind of this is hometown right here. Steve Middlebrook's grandchildren live right up on top of Lookout Mountain, right at the Tennessee line. And some of them have moved through that 16-year-old age. And, you know, right now what happens with a 16-year-old is you've never driven a car by yourself. And if you're in an automobile right now, you have to wait 6 months before you can have another unrelated person in the car. And I don't know where you were at 16, Tim, but I remember the first time I was at my grandmother's house there on Prince Avenue, and I had to drive to Atlanta. And, you know, I'd been to Atlanta several times, but I don't know that I would have met all the challenge to, okay, how do I drive to Atlanta? You know, what's the route? We didn't have Google Maps, and we didn't have GPS, and it was just, okay, you got to think about, okay, how am I going to get to Atlanta? And if you had broke down along the way, it puts you in a real predicament, because one of the most dangerous things, and I tell my daughter today, who's a fighter pilot in the Air Force, I said the most dangerous place to be is broke down on the side of the road, because you got to watch the traffic. You've got to watch somebody coming up and you know, hey, they can knock you in the back of the head while you're looking at, you know, if you're fixing a flat tire or whatever it may be. And to me, to put a 16-year-old in that position doesn't make sense. And so the only thing this bill does is allow for a 16-year-old to have an unrelated person in the car with them when they get their driver's license, so that they're not out there all by themselves. And if you remember back in camp, we used the buddy system. When you went to camp, they were first, pick a buddy. That's your buddy. You're going to look out after each other. If you go swimming or you're going to do whatever, you got a buddy that's going to watch your back. And to me, Steve Middlebrooks asked me to work on that, and it makes sense. It's one of those things that I hate to put a 16-year-old out in an automobile, and if they get broke down, they're in very jeopardy. And you think about as many people there are out there that, you know, abduct youngsters and all kind of nefarious things. Yeah. And to me,
harder to abduct two than one, I suppose, would be the logic behind the legislation here. State Senator Frank Ginn up against it. We'll have to leave it there. I know you folks busy, as you mentioned, crossover day a week away. Best of luck with that, and thanks for your time this morning.
Great to be with you, Tim. Hope you have a great day. It's a beautiful day in Athens.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.